Prayer takes us to another level. It keeps us at the level we gain. Amen. 1 Kings 18, please. Like all sermons, we never do them justice, do we? Never do them justice. Never feel like we're satisfied. I've never preached a sermon yet that I've ever got satisfied with. Now, I'm satisfied with the subject, but not my treatment of it. Amen. We've got the greatest subject ever known to man. We know his name. Amen. The Holy Spirit's come to exalt Christ. And he does it. Amen. You know how much the Holy Spirit reveals Christ? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is his title. You don't know his name. You know the name of God the Father. You know the name of Jesus Christ. You don't know the name of the Holy Spirit. That's his title. That's right. His name's a secret because he comes to not draw any attention to himself. So you make much out of Christ, he'll make much out of you. You know, we always think we know what God wants us to say. And then God, the Lord woke me up and I was praying and got me up, and I wrote some of these thoughts down today about this. I preached on this last Sunday night at the church and then last week some. And now I want to deal with Elijah revealing the mysteries of prayer. Prayer is a great mystery. Everything about God's mysterious. And the reason being is our little minds can't comprehend him. So the Lord has to accommodate man. And God gives man human relationships. He gives him father-son relationship, mother-daughter, parent-child, husband-wife. These relationships are to reveal God to our mind because he's so above us and beyond us that it's the only way we can even get a grasp of who he is. Then he accommodates man with the imagery he uses of himself. He calls himself the great hen gathering her chicks together. He makes all these references to man so man can try to get an understanding of him. That's what the Bible is. It's just a revelation of God. It's a revelation of God as he is to man as he is. And that's where the problem comes in, because man wants to be God. That's his problem. He don't want to submit to authority. He don't want to submit to the authority of this book. Now, I'm going to take for granted you know the history of this story, because I don't have time to get into it. I'm going to take for granted that you understand they're in absolute total apostasy. Jezebel, if Baal was her father, he's the king of the Zidonians. He's up there at Zarephath. And the land has got so apostate that God raises up Elijah, whose name means my God is Jehovah. And they're trying to stamp out the name of God, and they're trying to stamp out all the prophets of God. And Elijah stands up and says, guess what? My God is Yahweh. Yahweh is my God, Jehovah. And so God raised him up at this time, crossroads of history. And they've got so wicked that they're trying to absolutely destroy. This is Ahab obeying his wife, trying to destroy the prophets of God from the land. You know, Obadiah, you're not going to outfox God. That word sovereign is not just a word. He is. He strategically puts people where he does to checkmate Satan all the time. All the time. So he had an official in the court by the name of Obadiah, high official. Now Obadiah's got enough money. I mean, here God's feeding Elijah from the table of Ahab. And now the government's financing Obadiah, and he's feeding 100 prophets, 50 in one, gave him 50 in another. And they can't find him and don't know about it. They had it to been hung. And then Elijah's 20 miles under Ahab's nose, and he's running all over the different countries making them sign affidavits. They're not hiding him. Now, you can't outfox God. He's there before you ever got your thought there. Amen. That don't make you a fatalist. That makes you shout. That makes you know he's in control. Amen. God stays up all night. There ain't no need in you staying up. He don't worry, and if you stay up, you'll start worrying. He giveth his beloved sleep. I need to learn that verse and practice it. Amen. Brother Randy took a trip to Santa Fe last night. I think he finally got back. Amen. Inside joke. But the fact that the Lord has a plan and a program. God's running a big operation. He's running a worldwide operation. And he's gracious enough to let you in and let me in on just a little bit of things that affect eternity. That blows my mind. That God would give me the privilege of being in his business. Amen. Now, verse number 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, this is 1 Kings 18, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, I don't know if he literally heard it or he heard it by faith. It's really the same thing. When you hear it by faith, you do hear it. So, we'll just say it's both. He heard it by faith and he heard it. Amen. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Let me stop here and say this. We was out eating last week and one of the pastors, Brother Randy, and I mentioned this to the church, said something in his prayer I'd never heard. We always talk about Lord bless the food and all that. He said, Lord bless our food and our drink. I have never heard that. That's good, ain't it? Bless our food and our drink. So Ahab's going up to eat and drink. You know why? He's a reprobate. He don't know nothing about God. Elijah's got to get him out of the way. Elijah went to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. He just got in that secret place, that place of seclusion. His knees would cover up his ears so he'd concentrate. He said to his servant, go up now toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. He said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot. Get thee down that the rain stop thee not. Came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So I want to think about Elijah revealing the mysteries of prayer. No decision God ever made ever cost him like making man knowing he had sinned. That's cost God everything. He could have made 10 million worlds. He wouldn't have broke a sweat. But when he made man knowing he'd fall, it cost him. And the reason it cost him is because God wanted to manifest his grace. Our God delights in mercy above all things. He loves showing mercy. He's a God of grace. Man, I'm about to get sidetracked there and I could real easy. Moses wanted to see God's glory. God put his hand, he put him in the cleft of the rock. That's the wounds of Jesus. Put him in the wounds of Christ. Put his hand over there, and he passed by and let him see the afterglow. And God said, Moses, you want to see my glory? Here's what it is. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. That's God's glory. Having mercy is God's glory. Amen. Now, God made man such a complex being. There's nothing more complex about a man than his will. And when God gave man a will, when God put Adam in the garden and Eve and give them the freedom of choice, that's where it all started. When God gave man the ability to disobey him. That's the problem in the church. We've got the ability to disobey God. That's what revival's about, getting us back where we'll obey God. That's what it is. And God's give us, He's give us means in the Christian life to bring our will in compliance with God's will. Because your will is not in compliance with God's will. Man's independent, man's selfish. Man thinks about himself. And until the love of God is shed abroad in a man's heart, he can only love from a human standpoint with human affection. God puts his love in a man. That's why Adoniram Judson and Ann Judson went to Burma. That's why the William Carey went to India. That's why men's and women's done what they've done. That's the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and you get to share it. God's love for lost humanity, and it'll drive you to try to reach them. When man fell, there's no part of man that was left unaffected. Man fell in his body. Man fell in his soul. Man fell in his spirit. He totally fell. No part of man is unaffected. No part of man doesn't have to be redeemed. Now, you're not totally saved when you get saved. You got the first installment. Your body ain't got saved yet. Technically, your soul has not been delivered from the sin nature. But God put some perfection in you where the Holy Ghost lives. Now, what happened to man when he fell? His mind got blinded. His spirit, when you say a man's dead in trespasses and sin, and maybe I'll teach one day on praying for the lost. When man, the reason he's dead in sin, death means separation. Man is totally separated from God and can't do one thing to get back to God if God don't come after him. He can't. He can't. He don't have one ability to go one step to God till God comes to him. That's right. If you don't know that, you don't understand lost people. They'll all go to hell whistling Dixie if God doesn't come after them. Oh, that's right. Man separated. He is absent of the life of God. Now, when the Lord saved you, He put eternal life in you. That's not duration, even though it is. It's quality. God's life is in us. God's life, God's nature is in the regenerated sinner. Now, most people in the church know they're redeemed. Hallelujah. We shout about the blood of Christ. And Brother Andy, there's almost no understanding of regeneration. Thank God you're redeemed. But what happened to you when you got born again? You better search that out. And you'll spend the rest of your life searching that out. What God did when He regenerated you when you got saved. So, man's mind is blinded. His spirit's dead. The phone's not hooked up. Now, if he prays, God hears all things. But he has no standing with God. When it says God doesn't hear sinners, doesn't mean he doesn't hear what they say. He don't obligate himself. They don't have a mediator. They don't have a priest. And if God hears them, it's just out of his goodness. Goodness of God leads thee to repentance. An old mom out here that has little old youngins and says, God, I don't know you, but would you please help me to have some food to feed my youngins? God, in his mercy, provides a need. You know why? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God don't hear sinners, and how do they get saved? Are you listening now? Let's just get down where it's at. But man, his mind's blinded. He'll believe a lie every time. Every time. Why do you think the cults are flourishing? Why do you think people have such a struggle with salvation? man's mind is darkened. That's the Bible terms. Man's will is in bondage. Did you ever feel that resistance when you tried to come to God to get saved? Felt like your feet was nailed to the floor and this poured in concrete. That was your will resisting God. So the Lord touches your will when He convicts you and He looses it from that bondage. And that's when you choose Christ right there. That's when you really choose Him. That's just Bible. You can't get saved apart from the Holy Ghost, folks. Salvation's of the Lord. That means He's involved in every aspect of it. There ain't one part of it you can do without Him. Well, that's right. God enlightens your mind, you believe Christ. God enlightens your, or God looses your will, and you can come to Christ. And that's when you really got free wills when you get saved. That's just the truth. That's when you really got free will. I mean, that's when we're getting sort of back where Adam fell. Just a little bit. Now, if that's so, and I know it is by this Bible. I don't know that by what I think. That's what this teaches. If that's so, what's the devil going to use to defeat us in the Christian life? That same thing. He's going to keep your mind darkened. He's going to keep you walking according to the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of your flesh, and not the wisdom revealed in the Word of God. He's going to mess your will up where you won't yield it to God. He's going to fill us with doubt and worry where we won't have faith. He's attacking the mind, the will, the heart, the affection, the emotion after you're saved. But the thing about being saved, now we got the power to do right if we will. Now, listen to this right here. Why did Christ say, no man, and He means it, can come to me except my Father, which sent me, draw him. Now, us good Baptists, we won't believe the Bible. We'll go to that verse, Brother Andy, start explaining it away. We explain half the Bible away because it don't fit with our opinions. I just want to believe it. I believe no man, never been a man, could ever come to God till God draws him. Ain't never a man going to submit his will to God till God tempers his will. Satan works on your mind. Satan works on your will. So we see, because of this, we have been emancipated. Boy, we sing that song in that old red book, for the Son hath set me free. I was living down in Egypt, but deliverance came to me. What's that mean? That means you got set free to live for God, to please God. He put the power in me to obey Him if I'll yield to Him. God didn't drag you to an altar to make you get saved. He made Jesus attractive. He broke down your stubborn will and gave you grace to come, but He didn't drag you. He didn't make you. He ain't gonna make you live right. He'll make you wish you had. That's right. So we see here that the Lord, our mind, has to be renewed. Listen, dear people, this Bible's God's thoughts. That's how God thinks right there. That's God's thoughts on vapor. And God's thoughts have to replace our thoughts with the aid of the Holy Spirit, and He reprograms us. And our will must be conformed to the will of God. So, Brother Randy, I know how I was when God called me to preach. Listen, if anybody could ever got out of it, it'd been me. There ain't nobody run harder than me. I did for 8 years. I ran from time I was 12, time I was 20. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how God, He flanked me. He just outwitted me. You know what the Lord done to me? I was 14, 15, 13 years old, Brother Andy. I couldn't sleep at night. I'd lay there arguing. I'd argue with God. I never hardly got a good night's sleep when I was growing up. I was arguing with God about preaching. I said, there ain't no way. And then I knew in the back of my mind, oh, Lord, I'll do it in a wheelchair or something. I said, well, Lord, if you'll just let me go to Africa, thank God for not answering a lot of my prayers. And I was so full of pride, folks. I didn't want to have to stand in front of somebody that knew me. Now, that's wicked pride. That's why it took so much power to save me. God saved me. When God saved me at 8 years old, He dealt with me like I was Al Capone. I'm serious. I might tell you about that one day. You might probably won't even believe it. I mean, God dealt with me dramatically. And you know what God did? Boy, I got married and that responsibility hit me and that bunch of messes gone is over. I knew it. Oh, Lord, I knew it. And I got right with the Lord one Sunday night in a quiet way. In a quiet way, nobody knew it did. In a quiet way, with a man up there preaching, I don't even know if he's even called of God. I'm serious. I don't know if he is. There ain't been no evidence of it. God can use a donkey, and we won't use the King James language, though it's appropriate. And a rooster. That's why us preachers been eating chicken ever since. We're trying to, old Hitler tried to commit genocide on the Jews. We are on the chickens. I get old drunk, come up to a preacher, looked at his belly, chicken coop. Well, man shouldn't tell jokes about preachers eating chicken. What am I doing it for then? Hey, but God got to working. Oh, my want to. I know this from the Bible and know it by experience. When I surrendered to preach Brother Randy, I was begging God to let me. I went years fighting him, and I got to begging him to let me because he wouldn't talk to me about it no more. I'm talking about a God that can conform your will. That's what prayer's about. That's what reading the Bible's about. That's what the quiet time's about. That's why so few Baptists pray. They don't want God conforming their will. They don't want to obey. Here's what you do with God. You can be totally transparent with God. You can say, Lord, what you're asking me to do, I don't want to do it. But I want you to work the want to in my heart. I don't know this sounds bad, but Lord, I want to give you permission to do work on my will what you got to, where I'll do it with delight. That's what God wants to hear. Now, prayer in the secret place, the presence of God has a way of enlightening us and conforming our will. It renews our mind. Now, notice here, God works obedience slowly in your heart. Have you ever noticed that? Well, you don't know how he does it. I don't understand this stuff. I don't know how the word of God becomes faith, but it does. And God works on our will, our mind, our emotions, and we submit to God and say, here's what we say. Say, now, Lord, everything you're asking me to do, I can't do. Because if I try to do it, I'll do it in the flesh, and it won't honor you. Now, if you want me to do this, I want you to give me a heart to delight in it, and you got to give me power to do it. Because without you, Jesus, I can do nothing. He said, it's about time you realize that. I've been waiting on to hear that. Amen. Yeah, we don't just need to preach our little sermon and ask God to bless it. We need to preach God's message. In prayer, our heart and our mind is made pliable in the hand of God. And that's where faith is birthed. Now, how could Elijah pray with such faith and such confidence and such boldness? You know how he could? He knew God's will. You know how he could? He believed God's promises. You know how he could? God worked perseverance in him. Folks, listen to me. When you yield to God, he works in you the graces You need to obey him. He that begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what I'm preaching about. Amen. Now, Elijah tells his servant, he goes up there. First thing Elijah does, he goes, here he teaches you about prayer. He stood on Mount Carmel and stood standing, prayed a 69 word prayer. Now he's in secret. He's got his head between his knees and he's praying between him and God. That's a mystery, isn't it? He goes over there and he knows God's will. He's got the inner witness. He tells the servant, go and look over there toward the sea and see if there's any evidence yet. Now watch this. What did Elijah have in his heart? It's what the old people call unction. That's intuition. That's an inner knowledge that God puts in your spirit. For example, you ever heard anybody say this? I know that I'm saved. Well, how do you know? I just know. If you're saved and you got the assurance you need, you can say that. I know. Because there's a witness in there. Devil says you ain't saved. I said last time I checked, the Holy Ghost said I was. And you're a liar and a father of it. What that intuition is, it's God's amen to what he's telling you to do. Now that's why Elijah persevered. He knew what God said and what God's will was that God would do. He just didn't know exactly when. He knew he was right there at it. So God here in slow progression leads us along, confirming his will as we go. Now, you dear men of God, you have to deal with this a lot, and even God's people do. If you got a deep walk with God, you want God to confirm his will. Because, Brother Andy, some decisions don't have very much ramifications. But some not only put you in a very delicate position of danger, but it puts your family. It puts a whole church. You lead a church into something, you better know what you're doing. Because you may die the next day, but they're going to have to pay the bills. Boy, that's right. You better know. And we need this. You know why? You know why voting in a church? You know one reason I'm for it on major things? Not buying toilet paper. I believe in a pastor, capital letters, led church. By the Holy Ghost, of course. But you know why, pastor? He's not going to start a big program without taking a vote. He wants to feel the pulse of the church. He wants to know if they're ready yet. He wants to know if the heart's in it. Amen. We need confirmation to God's will. And a lot of times, I'm not going to run down old Gideon. Because I believe God, the Holy Ghost, put it in his heart what to ask. I believe he did. God honored it, didn't he? And if I ever put out, what do they call that thing you put out? Fleece. I want to put out no fleece unless God gives me the fleece. He don't give you many of them. Now, if you want to argue with that, we won't even argue. You'll disagree, I'll disagree. We still love God. We're going to go on down the road. Amen. But you better be careful about asking for confirmation. Say, God, would you just do it out of the blue so I can't be deceived? Ain't you a blessing, brother? Now, notice here, Elijah is going to be given a token that God is going to answer now. That's what he needed to do. A lot of times, it's not God, what's your will? It's when, what time is it? We know that it's the daytime, but we don't know exactly what time it is right now. Don't be watching your watch when I'm preaching. You will get depressed. Now, here's what. David, you enjoyed that too much, brother. He told the servant, here's what he said. He said, now you watch and I'll pray because I can't do both. I can't get distracted. I'm in this zone with God and I don't want to leave it. I don't want to take a chance of leaving this connection I got right here with God. That's why the devil tries to get you out of the prayer place before you're supposed to be. He said, you watch and I'll pray. You go and I'll believe. All you got to do is do what I tell you. Now Elijah had already made the pronouncement to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. How do you know that? Because God let him see it. God let him hear it by the eye of faith. Elijah goes up to the top of Mount Carmel, where he'll not be distracted. He says, now God, he gets up there and he tells the Lord what he put on his heart. He said, now Lord, you got me out there on the end of this limb. And I know you won't saw it off behind me. Boy, I've been there. If God didn't come through, you talk about egg, deviled egg on your face. There's sometimes he's got to answer or you're ruined. He opened his mouth. He can't go back. He already told Elijah it's going to rain. He's told all the people. You know why Elijah knew it's going to rain? Here's why. God sent the drought because of their idolatry. When they confess the Lord, he is God, then God can send the rain because they repented of their idolatry. And not before. Elijah knows the seriousness of the moment, the hallowedness of this moment, the magnitude of this moment. God gave Elijah liberty to ask, faith to believe, patience to persevere. His deep reverence for God is seen in the way he approached him. Also, I mentioned this last week. It's a place where he can concentrate and express total trust and dependence, humility before God. But it's that birthing place. God has bent this man double with the burden. You men's been there. You women's been there. You know what that is. God bends you double with the burden. It's the closest thing a man can ever understand at childbirth. It's travail in the Holy Ghost. Elijah just told his servant, now watch this, men and women. He's like Dr. A, you say, ladies and gentlemen, lads and lassies. That ain't dogs. That's what they call children in Scotland, lads and lassies. Go ye up, look toward the sea. Listen. You got to do stuff God's way. God wants to send the glory to Israel, but he's not going to do it the Philistine way. It's not just enough to want the right thing and the right result. You got to do it like God said, do it. I'm serious, folks. That's part of it too. He went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Boy, I'll tell you what. We need encouragement, Brother Jimmy, to pray when there's nothing. Nothing. But we know there's got to be something because we know what's in us didn't come from us. There's nothing. He said, go again 7 times. Now, Brother Randy, if God's got to work on me like he does to get me to do his will, God's got to work on our people. He's got to work the willingness in it. And men of God, as soon as you see it, they ain't seen it yet. That will hadn't been worked in them. Just like God was patient with you, God help me to practice this. We got to be patient with them. Well, it took God 40 years to show me something, but you better do it right now. Don't expect kids to act like old people. They're not going to be strict like old people. They're going to have fun. You got to let people enjoy their childhood and progress and grow in grace. Amen. What should us older people do? Set the example in love. Your example's worth sometimes more than you're preaching. The prayer demanded Elijah's attention. Brother, what God's doing right here demands our attention. Full attention. I wish everybody could take off work and just pray, but they can't. Mother's got children to raise. They got responsibilities. But maybe you are on disability. You ain't never figured out why you are. I'm telling you why. We got enough disabled people and old people in our churches that could absolutely barnstorm heaven for revival. That's the untapped resource in the Baptist churches, is our older people that's walk with God and our disabled people that can go do it. You say, I can't get on my knees. Go and sit down on the pew and just sit there like this. Dear God, today I'm Amish. I'm waiting for you to move me. He'll move you. Amen. Now you dear older people, thank God for you. There's a lot of them here. I'm 55. You older than me, you're old. That ain't even funny, is it? Praise God. There's a few of these places they say senior citizen discount. I've got to use it 2 times, 55 and up. And then I thought, man, that's sad. Now watch this. Here's what Elijah told his servant, and don't miss this. Go again 7 times. He done told him, first time it's gonna be nothing. Come on back here and tell me there's nothing. Go the second time, they're gonna be nothing. Come back here and tell me there's nothing. It's what he told him. How'd he know that? You know how he knew it. God said you're going to have to send him back 7 times. On that 7th time, he's going to see something. But you keep sending him back because Elijah, this ain't for you. As much as everybody reads this, learn something about asking, seeking, and knocking. Go again, though there's nothing. Go again, looking for the confirmation. And it came to pass at the 7th time when he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. You know what God called Abraham? I never even thought about this until this morning. God said there's a hand out there, size of a man's, or a cloud size of a man's hand. The blessing is coming through human instrumentality. That cloud was in the shape of a hand. He could have made it in the shape of a column. He made it in the shape not of a mountain, a man's hand. The blessing always comes through a man. Abraham chose Abraham. God chose Abraham out of the Gentile world. A man's hand, the cloud size of a man's hand. God took that one man and said, I'll bless the whole world with this one man. I'm going to use that one token of a cloud the size of a man's hand. That's your confirmation. And I'm going to bless the land of Israel because of the token of that one thing. By the way, Abraham had a son named Jesus. God's instrument, his hand. That one man changed the world. God's church is God's instrument. God uses, and that hand's a little thing. Massive sky, massive sea, little old bitty hand. God's going to take that little Abraham and make a nation and give David a dynasty and a royal family. God's bringing Christ. It doesn't matter if your church is little. God can use that little hand. That man, what we need is the blessing behind the hand. Verse 44. Let me just stop right here and say something right here. Huh. For all these fellows that look down their nose on small churches. Let me tell you about one. There's a church up in the mountains in North Carolina. I think the old man of God's still living. He's in a nursing home and he don't hardly know anybody. Brother Andy, I go down the line. Some of the greatest preachers been of our day in 40 years. And that little red-headed preacher had a little church, and he taught them how to pray. And they never was above 40 or 50 people. But he had a Saturday night preaching service, and the whole thing was designed to let young preachers come in there and get full of the Holy Ghost. And that's where a bunch of them did. If that had been a big church, they couldn't fulfill that ministry. You know why I know that? Because God didn't let it grow. It wasn't a lack of prayer. It wasn't a lack of power. You say, well, that don't line up what I've been taught. You've been taught wrong. God gets glory. He knows how to get glory. Aren't you glad for a little Jochebed and Amram? That precious woman needs a name change. Jochebed.
It came to pass at the seventh time, he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand.
That's old Abraham. That's that instrument. One little man come out of nowhere. God used him. Shut up the heavens and to open the heavens. That little hand's Elijah's hands in prayer. That's right. Boy, you know us preachers, we can just go to town on this typology stuff. Say, that ain't what that means. Well, it does sound good. To bring the rain to this world takes a man. Now, I'm saying that in generic, man or woman, boy or girl. It takes human instrumentality. And God needs people to yield to him. He needs us to yield so he can work his kind of faith in us and obedience and love in our heart. One little insignificant hand. And from that little hand, that little cloud, came the evidence of a great blessing. Now, Brother Randy, I just thought about this, but I think it fits. When all those dark clouds come on the scene, they cover up the little cloud and you can't see it. There's a lot of preachers ain't never getting in a newspaper. They're holding this thing together. There's old saints of God in these churches that ain't never quit praying and they get no recognition. But the first gonna be last and the last first. And when the church grows, they get hid in the background. God sees that little cloud back there. That was the instrument of faith to bring the big clouds. Now, from this one little cloud would come the supply, the representation of it. Elijah knew that the cloud was just the size. Boy, everything God does, he thinks it out. He wasn't going to make that thing big as a mountain to impress you. He made a little hand. Amen. Something Elijah could lay hold on to. See, he's got faith in his heart, but there's times that faith needs to become sight. Lord, let me see a little cloud. Let somebody get saved Sunday. Let the offering grow Sunday. Lord, give me a token. I see it in my heart and I believe it, but I need now to see something. Ain't nothing wrong with that. God didn't even let Elijah see, he let his servant see him. He went and told him. Sometimes somebody in your church will come up to you. Say, preacher, here's what the Lord showed me. He about to knock you down. Notice Elijah's been tempered. He's been sanctified to the point he could hear God's voice. Know God's way. Believe God's word. Verse 44. Go up. Say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot. Get thee down that the rain stop thee not. So God put Elijah out on the limb. But Elijah was committed to God. God's committed to him. By the way, Elijah didn't start this stuff. This stopping the rain business come from the Holy Ghost. God ain't going to stop the rain if you pray. Not if it ain't his will. He's not going to put all these people in suffering. There's an end result to this. And the end result was God's people be brought back to him. And you know what, Brother Kevin? When Elijah died, maybe 20 years after this or more, Elisha lived to be about 100 years old. His whole ministry was blessing and grace. And it come off the back of Elijah. Amen. Elijah knew God had spoke. Now it's time for the evidence. Oh my. Elijah sent a servant to speak for him. He said, that sounds like old Elisha to Naaman. He said, old Naaman's coming down here. He's so full of stinking pride. You send a servant out there to humble him. Naaman said, well, I'm offended. I thought who I am. You come out here and speak to me. He said, yeah, you ain't fit to speak to you. I'm sending my little old servant out here. You don't deserve healing, boy. Amen. Elijah said, I don't even look him in the eye. You go tell him to get on his little chariot and head toward Jezreel. I'm going to give him a head start. Amen. Came to pass. In the meanwhile, heavens were black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain. Wind brings in the clouds and the clouds bring the rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. and the supernatural power of God. A marathon is 26.2 miles. Elijah almost run a marathon in sandals and outrun the royal chariot. Ain't that something? Man, how'd you like to do that in the Olympics? Hey, amen. They'd check you for drugging and everything else, wouldn't they? Amen. Boy, you sell them tennis shoes, couldn't you? Now I'm going to end this with this right here. And I got a whole lot more preaching to do, but I done said what needs to be said for the most part. Why does Elijah pray with such confidence? Go show thyself unto Ahab. I will send rain upon the earth because God sent it. It was in the third year. James says it's 3.5 years. So Brother Randy, it's in the third year. They still got months and months to go before the rain. And he's got to walk in this, what he just told Ahab. Month went by, war's a rain. You see what faith does? It's a progressive thing. Elijah had God's promise on his word, and he had God's power. He had saw the fire fall on the sacrifice. God can't trust you with the water till you get holy on the inside. If you get holy inside, you'll be holy outside. You're going to be sanctified. That ain't sinless perfection, but you will sin a whole lot less. You did get that, didn't you? That ain't original. You know that ain't. If I say anything good, I stole it from somebody. Amen. If I come up with something, I need the tape of it to rehear it and say, man, ain't no way I said that. Hallelujah. He saw the fire come down, 69 word prayer, lick up or devour, consume the sacrifice, lick up the stones. They built the trench, you know the story. All them barrels of water 3 times and licked up all the water. So he's seen the power. He's seen the power. And he saw that the fire fell on the sacrifice. All God's blessings come from the sacrifice. He saw that. The blood had been shed and God consumed it in his wrath. God accepted it. Now God's going to call the drought off. In other words, this is Old Testament Pentecost, the rain. That's what this typology of. That's right, just had the sacrifice, waited a little while, then they got to Pentecost. Amen. We don't need another Pentecost, we sure need the power of it. The promise of God, they had the promise of God, the power of God. True prayer rests on the promises of God. Puts it in your heart, makes it a part of you, gives you faith. The sacrifice, God consumed that sacrifice, and he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, on and on and on I could go. But we pray, dear people, our prayers are based on God's word, on what God's done in the past, what he's doing right now, and what he's done proved himself to us. But it's based on the sacrifice. You go to God through Christ and plead the blood. Stand on the word. You know what God's actions are, don't you? Man ruined by the fall. Redeemed by the blood. Regenerated by the Spirit. Amen. He prayed earnestly. Well, the Bible says, Brother Randy, he's a man that's subject to like passions as we are. He had all the doubts, folks. He had all the struggles you had. He wasn't some supernatural man. He had just common flesh and blood. He was that little hand that God used to bring the rain. You say, well, preacher, I don't always feel like being fervent. Well, you just pray the way God wants you to. You may never pray in fervency out loud. You may pray in fervency in your heart. It's like a man getting saved. It's not important what he says until it's important what he does in his heart. You believe first in your heart. Then you confess it. Anyhow, those old boys been fishing all night long. Lord said, what you got? He said, we got nothing. They done quit. They're cleaning their nets. And the Lord gives us prayer to keep us from quitting. And he gives us a verse out of nowhere and says, now I want you to stand on this and I want you to believe it. God answered him suddenly, powerfully, visibly, abundantly. You know what I think we need to do in this service right now? Fervent, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think we need to be like Elijah. We need to learn to separate ourselves, humble ourselves, claim God's promise, pray fervently, watch and pray, persevere, and obey God. And there'll be a time you've got to speak what God put in your heart. That's right, to the right people. The Bible says this, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Say, preacher, I need a new condo and Cadillac. Yeah, and I need $10 million. God can't trust me with it, though. We ain't talking about foolishness now. If you need a Cadillac and God wants you to have one, I'm for you. And if I was you, I'd get one of them V8 supercharged ones, too. No need playing around. The work of the Lord requireth haste. Jay Hughes chariot. Brother Andy, here's what we all know. We know this meeting's of God. They ain't no question. We know Brother C.T.'s a man of the hour. We know that. And we know God's been saving people, blessing people, wanting to help people. We all know that. What we don't know is what all God wants to do with this thing. But we need to pray that God will do it all. And that we'll be yielded to it. And God in these prayer meetings and night services, that's why Brother C.T. talking about that hour-long invitation. I grew up in them. When God's moving, God breaking down at will of that sinner. Backing Satan off of him. Don't get nervous around them long invitations if God's in them. He can do more work than you can get done in 10 years. May God put the faith in us. May God put the vision in us. May God help us to agree with him. Say, Lord, we're here to agree whatever you want done. We want you to work it in us to yield to that. Submit to that and believe you for it and keep giving us these little tokens of these little sinners' hands. Amen. And the saints of God's hands. Amen. That boy running down here. Amen. Ain't that precious? Let's bow our heads in prayer and we'll come to the altar and pray in a minute. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just stand our feet. Will y'all agree with me for God's will? Everybody that'll agree, say amen. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't have a lot of praying power. He didn't say you had to have. He said just agree. He said agree. God's will be done. We don't want this tent to go down to every sinner gets saved that God wants to save here. And every preacher's called. And the effect of every church gets a spark of this. And that's what we pray, is that it get in the churches. That's the most important thing. And there's nothing more important than getting us on us preachers. So we won't be a bucket of water throwing it on fire, people. It's got help. Father, we come to pray your word. You'll hear your word. We come to do what you said, Lord Jesus. You told us. You give us permission that if two of us would agree on earth as touching anything, and we know, Lord, that anything is what you want to do, that we'd ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Holy Father, command your will to be done. All you've got to do, say the word. We're here, God, for you to subdue our will, to work faith in us, hope in us, and vision in us. God, we're agreeing for those lost people. God, we're agreeing for your glory, your son to be exalted. God, we're agreeing you'd fill us with the Spirit like you never have. Oh, God! When this meeting's over, let us walk in the faith of it.
till we go to heaven. Let us get a taste of that bread that'll sustain us. Even though we'll be tried, there'll always be that deep stirring of the water. Cause you dug on down deeper into our well. Let us get to that artesian well you put in us. So we can throw our buckets away. Pour out your spirit. You said out of you shall flow rivers of living water. Oh God, Brother Randy moderates this meeting. Brother CT preaches. God, Brother Jared leads us singing. Brother Jimmy, these others play the instruments. Folks that sing, sanctified, fill us, God, baptize us in the power and the love and the grace of the Lamb of God. Oh God, take over this thing and move out into this community. God, move out into churches among the America and around this world. Oh my God, I beg you, exalt Christ, glorify Christ, and hear his prayer for this meeting. I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Brother Jimmy, before we come and pray, come up here and play something we can all praise God together with. You know that song? I know you do. Let's just praise the Lord. Lift our hands toward heaven. That's what you do, Brother Randy. God gives you an answer. You thank him. I want to tell you something. I was going to preach on this, but I didn't. You know what you need to do every day? It'll keep your heart warm. Thank God every day for somebody in your past that's in heaven that made a great impact on you. And thank God for somebody today that's a real blessing to you. Helps keep you grateful. We need to do things to keep us grateful. Thankful. Because he loves it. You know, you can learn to thank God more. Thank each other more. Randy, thank you. Thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for your little wife, your children, and new hope that's put up with you. We preachers know what that means. Because God's got to develop us. And they've got to be patient with us. A church can make a great man or kill him. They've helped you. They bless you. He used thorns too, didn't he? He's used some thorns. Thank God for you people. Man, I all of you that's here, God bless you. You encourage my heart. You gonna lead us, my dear brother?
Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven. And praise the Lord, let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord, let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let us lift our hearts to heaven.
Something right here. You might want to hang around and pray about this right here. You say, Lord, would you put a vision in my heart, the word of God, that'll be so strong that it'll sustain me through the dry places, the unbelief places. And Lord, would you submit my will and give me yieldedness in my heart because I want to obey you. Would you just work all that in me? Work faith in me. I want to be that pliable clay in the hand of the potter. And Lord, I just can't do anything without you. I can't take a step if you don't let me take it. Empower me to take the right one. I'm talking about just getting down and humbling yourself and telling God just how bad you need it.
Yes, he loves that.